The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Whether you love the action in sports, from hockey to basketball, or if you're looking to get in on the action from the biggest game of the NFL season happening this weekend, BetOnline.ag has got you covered. Create a free account at BetOnline.ag and receive a 50% sign-up bonus just by using the promo code PODCAST1. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now, Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Friday! And I'm glad we could all meet again for another special episode of You're Welcome. I will tell you right out of the gate, first off, I feel great. I don't sound like I do, do I? You guys can probably hear a congestedness. I don't know why I have that, because I feel 100%, and I am in the middle of a hunger strike, by the way. I have always thought of myself as a disciplined guy. You'll spend a lot of your life trying to figure out who you are as a person. I'm no different, but I did come to the conclusion that I'm Mr. Discipline. I can do anything I set my mind out to do, and that would include diet and exercise. By example, over a year ago, when I was put into the heavyweight Grand Prix, all of a sudden, diet became less important. I always had to exercise, but diet and what I actually weighed became less important. And now I was forced to use a level of discipline to try to control my weight, balancing that with the fact that I'm going to be in there with heavyweights, which then, of course, leads a person instantly to logically believe they need to get a little bit bigger. At any rate, what I found out about myself is I was not as disciplined as I had given myself credit for. I had realized that I always lived in a life of structure, a certain level of structure, having that weigh-in in front of me, whether it was through amateur wrestling or it was through professional prize fighting. But I had that scale. I had that contract. I had that finish line. And those were things that helped to keep me within the lanes of what I am calling discipline. So, for about a year, I have wanted to lose 20 pounds and maybe just short of that, but right around 20 pounds. And I just simply haven't done it. And I've exercised. I go to practice. I do my two-a-days. And then I started eating a little bit healthier. And I would go on diets, you know, sporadically, whether it was healthy eating or whether it was the no-carb diet, all these different fads that you would hear about there. And I would try them all and I would mix them all in. And just recently, I was on a diet for only 3 days, but I was on a diet for 3 days. And in that 3 day period, I got on the scale and I had gained 3 pounds, which I do not think is physiologically possible, but I can tell you what the number of the scale read before that 72 hour period and after that 72 hour period. And while standing on the scale and looking at that number, I said, you know what? I'm done. I'm out. No more diets. I'm done. I am not eating again until I weigh 214 pounds. I will not have another bite of food. I am on a hunger strike. The longest I had ever gone without food in my life was 36 hours, a day and a half. And I had to do that. I actually hit that 36-hour point a few times in my life, but never exceeded it. I am currently at 72 hours right now. 72 hours and count. Well, I'm looking at the clock. I'm a little closer to 80 hours. So I'm in day number 4, and I would estimate that I will not need any more than 10 days and possibly as few as 7. The problem that I ran into is I was planning to combine not only this fast, but then with heavy amounts of water intake to go by Mike Dolce's standard, a gallon a day, and then also have a third prong of this, which was exercise. What I have ran into, and I think it's relates back to my voice that you're hearing right now and this little bit of a cold that apparently I have, is I wasn't able to drink the water. My body just didn't want it. And I haven't been able to go to the gym because I don't want to get my teammates sick. So I lost two of the three prongs in the approach. However, I have not been on a scale. I will get on one tomorrow, which will be at day five. But I can just tell you from my genes that I am losing weight. How much? I don't know. I'm guessing I'm down about 7 pounds here in day four. So I got a little bit of time to go, and I think I really could have sped that up with the water intake and the exercise. But that's what I am doing, and I am surprisingly uncranky. I had read a lot about this from other people. Joe Rogan talks about fasting a lot, but his idea of fasting is up to 2 days, and then you eat again. Khabib talks about fasting. He does it for 1 day a week. But if you go to the internet, you can find all sorts of dialogue. One thing for people who have done long fasts, and most of them did fasts not for the reason that I'm doing it, which was an absolute frustration with the mathematical equation of calories in versus calories out and the scale showing you something else. They were doing it largely for cleanses. They would do like a 10-day fast in conjunction. And then most of them were doing this cleanse that involved high amounts of water, lemon juice, and cayenne pepper. I don't know if you guys have heard about that one. It's a very popular one. It's been out there for a meaningful period of time. The relevance that I gained from this is everybody unanimously was commenting on after day three, you sail. After day three, the hunger pains, the cravings, the attitude, the lack of energy, that it all goes away, that your body begins to adjust, and this is just the way that things are going to be. And that's essentially when your body begins to cannibalize and eat itself because you're not given any other form of energy. And I was also curious about that. So many people were weighing in. So many people had that experience. I want to say, okay, is that going to be my experience? And I will tell you, as I am in day four, yeah, I think that's right. I think right about day three was the easiest day. And it wasn't an easy day, but it was the easiest. Day two was easier than day one. Day one was the hardest. And I do feel that I'm just kind of on autopilot. I spent day three largely just fantasizing about food, staring at a calendar, looking at where I would be because I'm about to get on a plane, about to go out to Australia for the pay-per-view this weekend. Going to watch Kelvin Gastelum specifically and support him in his pursuit of a world championship. But in the process of doing that, I was looking, where am I going to be? All right, I'm going to be in Australia. I'm going to be in a hotel. Then all of a sudden, I'm going to the hotel that I'm going to be at online, and I'm looking up what food they have. How late is room service? Oh, I got this whole thing worked out. Now, I'm not thinking about it at all. I am not craving anything. I would tell you, I think I am hungry. I think if I got on the scale right now, I met my goal, the 20 pounds was gone, I would go get something to eat, but I couldn't tell you what. Every fight that I've ever had, where I've had to fast or not eat or eat less, or a combination of all of those things, I could tell you exactly what I wanted. And it was the same thing every time. I wanted a club sandwich with extra mayonnaise, French fries, a side of ranch, and a Coca-Cola big enough to swim in. Right now, I don't have any of that, which I think does relate to the psychology and the physiology, quite fairly, that other people had also observed and talked about, that once you pass day three, you do kind of cruise. Now, how long can I carry that? I don't know. I wouldn't suggest for you that I don't eat again. I will suggest for you that at some point, I am going to have to either reach my goal or I am going to have to succumb to natural human survival, which says, you got to go eat some food. At any rate, I thought it was an interesting story. And I will tell you, and I think of myself as a very good dieter, not only from reading it, not only from reading books on this, not only from helping other people, but as a very good guinea pig myself. I may weigh more times than anybody I know that isn't in this world. As an amateur wrestler, I had to weigh in once a week for competition, sometimes twice a week for competition. So I lived a little bit of a unique life there, but for whatever reason, my physiology is just not, I don't know if that's with age. I don't know if my metabolism has slowed down, if the rules change, I don't know. But I know I was frustrated and I gave up and said, to hell with it all. I do not believe logically it is humanly possible to gain any level of weight without eating things, anything. So here I am.
You know what's not smart?
job boards that send you candidates that aren't qualified for the role you posted. You know what good that does? But you know what is smart? Going to ZipRecruiter.com/Sonnen to hire the right person for that role. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter finds the qualified candidates for you. They work for you to make sure you're seeing the right people and not wasting your time. That's important, guys. ZipRecruiter's powerful matchmaking technology scans thousands of resumes to identify people with the right skills, education, and experience, and actively invites them to apply for your job so you get the right candidates fast. That's why employers in the U.S. rate ZipRecruiter number 1. This rating comes from hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. With that many positive reviews, you know it's legit. Right now, for listeners of this show only, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Just sign up at ZipRecruiter.com/Sonnen. If you're out there on social media and you're using ZipRecruiter now, tag us in the post and let us know. We will get you a shout out on this podcast. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Sonnen. Try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Speaking of going out to Australia, I feel as though there is something very special that's going to happen. There is something very special about the Australian audience. By the way, to remind you guys, the largest crowd of all time took place in Australia with no Australian athletes in the headline role. It was Holly Holm versus Ronda Rousey. And while it did not break any gate records, tickets were at a bargain price, they still brought in 40,000 people, which is a remarkable amount of people. Now, in this situation, Robert Whittaker is on the card. He sold out, and I can't remember the time. I read all about it. They wrote an article about it, but he beat the Rolling Stones. When they announced that Robert Whittaker would be coming and tickets are on sale tomorrow, they sold out in, I believe, if I'm wrong here, I'm really close, I believe it was 14 minutes. All the seats were gone, which beat the Rolling Stones by like 6 minutes, setting the new all-time record for this venue. Pretty incredible thing. So there is something very special going to happen. I must personalize this, that Kelvin Gastelum is fighting. And however involved I am in this fight, and I will fully admit that I'm shining my own wheels over here, and my involvement is extremely small and largely exists in my own mind. But either way, this is a very proud moment for me. And this is a very special moment for me. This is not just Kelvin's dream. This is my dream for Kelvin. And I'm involved. And I would not miss it. And I got to fly about 20 hours to get there. And every second of it, I will not regret. I cannot wait. However the contest goes, I've got to be there. Even within my own mind of elevated status, of an involvement in his career, I realized that the reality was I was slightly involved in the career. But either way, this is a big deal for me. I'm going out there to support him. Win the gold medal or come up with the silver, either way. And then, you know, I'm really into the co-main event. And I'm into it for different reasons than a lot of people. So many people are pushing back, saying Adesanya is simply too much for Anderson Silva. He is too young, too dynamic, on too much of a roll. I would not disagree with you in any regard, but if you are a fight fan, when you have a night where history is going to happen, there is something special about that. And as much as you hardcore fans are saying, oh, this one is so obvious, and Adesanya is going to run away with it, don't forget, us hardcore fans only represent 15% of the market. 85% of this industry is built up by casual fans, and those casual fans don't know who Adesanya is yet, but they do know who Anderson Silva is. So if there is a changing of the guard and a passing of the baton, which is appropriate and natural and common in this sport, you still want to witness it. If there's not, and don't forget this side of the coin, if there is not and the old lion can stand his ground, come hook or crook, that's also going to be something very special. That will be, in many regards, the Randy Couture versus Tim Sylvia moment, the George Foreman versus Michael Moore moment. These things happen. And one thing we do know about MMA is the better fighter does not always win. the guy who fights best is the guy who wins, particularly when you are dealing in a striking contest. And I am not attempting to influence you people to go and change your bets and put it on Anderson Silva. I believe the odds makers have it correct. But I've also been in this sport long enough, and I think you guys have, to know it is not the better striker who wins. It's whoever lands the strike. In 4-ounce gloves, it is completely different. And when you have two athletes on paper, on resume, on your DVR from your pay-per-view that you purchased over the last 12 months, you know you're going to see a stand-up fight. Neither one of them is going to look for the takedown, and I'm not sure either one of them even has that skill set if they wanted to. They both believe in their stand-up. They both believe in their tricks. They both believe in their setups. And they both have proven power. And when you come down to these contests, if you want to talk about Adesanya being the more polished version of a older veteran of Anderson Silva, if you want to do that, go right ahead. But you don't have to look back any further than 1 week ago when Ryan Bader fought Fedor Emelianenko and landed one punch. It's not about who is the better or the more accomplished or the more experienced fighter. When you're dealing with 4-ounce gloves, you don't have to look back any further than 1 week ago when Aaron Pico got knocked out. You don't have to look back any further than 12 months ago when Stipe Miocic got knocked out in a fight that he was controlling. But he took one punch in a 4-ounce glove, and that will hit the snooze button, and that will shut you off for the night. And when two guys are coming out and agreeing openly and sincerely that we are going to stand out there and only kickbox, maybe call it Muay Thai if you want to get specific, because they will be looking for elbows and knees. Guys, anything can happen to the highest of levels. You will often hear in this sport about a puncher's chance. Nobody can ever give you an out. Nobody has any balls in this sport to say this is a mismatch and who's going to win. They will say this is a mismatch and who's going to win, and then they will hedge their statement by saying, "But oh, you know, he's got a puncher's chance." It's a great talking point. It's a standout. It's also very lazy and needs to go away. Because probability-wise, based on the numbers of the puncher's chance that we have seen over the last 20 years, you're only going to find 5 or 6 or 7 examples out of 500 or 600 or 700 contests. The puncher's chance is a real thing. It happens. A guy's getting his ass kicked and then lands a punch and ends the night. It's a real thing. But I will challenge you to very quickly, without thinking long, name 5 times it's ever happened through history. Ever. Off the top of your head. It's a very rare thing. And it's an even rarer thing in boxing because of the 16-ounce gloves. Not only offensively, where you have a little bit more padding and your punches don't have quite the same effect, but defensively. Put your chin down, you put your hands up, you got these big old pillows on your hands, you can block a lot of punches. With 4-ounce gloves, it is a different game. It is a different story. And when you have a shootout with two guys that are going to eventually find their range and start throwing heat at one another, and neither guy has had the snooze button hit yet. I suppose I have to correct that, don't I? Anderson Silva versus Chris Weidman, he did. He went out. Aside from that, you've got two guys with pretty good defense. Pretty good abilities to roll with the punches, with pretty good reflex. I just think you have something special there. I think you have a longer fight than a lot of people think. And I think you have a more competitive fight than a lot of people think. Because don't forget, guys, the intangibles matter, and the intangible in this situation is respect. And even though Adesanya called for this fight and asked for it and called Anderson Silva out, he is still an up-and-coming prospect with a very bright future in front of him, standing across from his hero. And that is according to him. Many guys overcome that. Many guys go out there and kill the master. It happens all the time. But they do it and they take a little bit longer. And they do it a little bit slower than if they would have come out without having that level of respect, come across the cage and just let things go. I think that that matters. I think that it's a talking point. And I think that it's also a very good setup, speaking of hedging bets, in case Anderson does beat him, I can come back and tell you all, I told you so. And who loves to tell you I told you so more than me?
You're listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Alexa isn't the only one with breaking news. Make sure to hang around at the end of this podcast for the latest breaking headlines on the AP News Minute.
The biggest Sunday of the year is finally here as the Los Angeles Rams go head-to-head with the New England Patriots in Atlanta. And Podcast One Sportsnet has got your game day coverage. Tune into the Rich Eisen Show and the Dan Patrick Show for your daily game day analysis from the most iconic sportscasters around. As RJ Bell of RJ Bell's Dream Preview and Shaq from the Big Podcast come at you live on the ground for the best game day coverage available. No matter which team you're rooting for, download these shows and more each week on Podcast One Sportsnet or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
It's the final game of the NFL season, and the biggest game of the year is just days away. Rams versus Patriots in Atlanta this Sunday. Can Brady do it again? Will the city of Los Angeles bring home the first Lombardi Trophy to the youngest coach in the NFL? This is going to be a matchup for the ages. As I have been saying for months, there is only one place to get in on the action. And here at Podcast One, we believe in our guys, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account on betonline.ag and use the promo code PODCAST1. That's Podcast O-N-E. And you will receive a 50% sign-up bonus. If you have missed out before on jumping in on the NFL odds, you don't have to miss the one biggest game of the season. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Visit betonline.ag today for all the details and use the promo code PODCAST1. That's PODCAST O-N-E. To get a 50% sign-up bonus and get yourself in on the action, betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
Now, back to your welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Guys, let's take a look. There was something that happened that I didn't have a chance to talk to you guys about, and it was with the commission hearing this week. The commission hearing was very, very good and very fair and nearly perfect. I would call it a home run by the commission, who I thought was thoughtful, who I thought was deliberate, who I thought was open to suggestions, and who I thought was very transparent. I would call it a home run. I would not call it a grand slam for one reason. Somewhere in there, they had a dialogue and open discussion about somehow regulating and or disciplining pre-fight speech. What happened at press conferences? I only want to mention this briefly because I feel very confident in telling you guys that the commission itself, in hindsight, right here as we sit here this day, would, if they were publicly meeting, say, yeah, forget we ever brought that up. And when you're deliberating live on camera with five different people and witnesses and expert testimony and people on conference calls and people being sworn in, when you're doing something like that and you're live for 5 hours, take it from me. Something's going to come out of your mouth that you'll look back on and go, oh yeah, take that off the record. Forget we said that. That slipped out. I think that was one of those things. I don't think we have to look any further than this. But for fun, what if I'm wrong? I mean, after all, it was said. They have not retracted it yet. So I suppose I have to operate in the confines that they believe on some level they are going to regulate speech. Whoa! Never going to happen. It was a reckless thing to say, and I'm surprised that it slipped out in a day where they did such a good job. I'm surprised that it came out because there is something known as the First Amendment. On top of that, whose speech are we going to go with? I got called the biggest trash talker in all of sports, not just MMA, in all of sports by Sports Illustrated. I've never used a four-letter word, never once. If my press conferences were put in a movie theater, they would not be rated R. There are other guys who did not insult anybody, didn't even try to hurt anybody's feelings or get any feathers up, and every other word was a four-letter word. Their movie would be rated R. Is that the level that we're going to go to? No R-rated speech, no four-letter words? Chael can go do whatever he wants, but some of these other guys can. I mean, is that how it's going to be? Or is it not? All of a sudden you're going to come in after Chael because I hurt somebody's feelings. I will tell you openly, when I show up to a press conference, I have two goals. One is to entertain and two is to hurt the other guy's feelings. I'm trying to hurt the other guy's feelings to get a reaction to then service my first goal, which was to entertain. Who in the hell is going to come in and regulate that and tell me I can't do it? Who within government is going to come in and tell me I can't do it? And then do we get into the weeds of where is it that I did it? What if I'm getting ready to fight in Nevada, but I'm holding a press conference in New York? Does the commissioner of New York step in when the fight is in Nevada, or does Nevada try to step in while I'm outside of state lines? Do you see the problem? You simply cannot do that. The rules are extremely simple. Don't touch the other guy. Press conferences are very similar to the fight night itself, except the roles are reversed and the fans become the mouthy fighter. The fan will then cheer and try to make feel good the person they want, and they will boo and insult and give hand gestures and say terrible things to the person they don't want. Whether that's because the emotion they have and it's genuine, or they're trying to throw it off his game, or they've had too many beers, it doesn't make a damn bit of difference. They're the fan. Stay on that side of the guardrail. Don't touch the guy. Purchase the seat fairly. And anything else goes. Anything else goes. I mean, it's pretty simple and straightforward. I don't think this is an issue that is ever going to rear its head again. I don't believe that we're going to say it, and I believe it was a misstep. And I believe that the commission should be given a pass for making one misstep in a wonderful day. They had a really good day. 5 hours live. But I do feel a need to speak on it. Because it did happen. Guys, you like saving cash, right? You know what's even better? Saving hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. Well, if you dig that, then get ready for this. Because you can do it right from your living room. All you have to do is go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just might be the most rewarding thing you do today. So Jose Aldo is going to be fighting in the co-main event tomorrow night. And I believe he's at home. I know he's fighting in Brazil, but I think he's even in his hometown. And he is the most spectacular athlete on the card, right? World champion, multiple time world champion. And he's fighting a gentleman who is currently a 2-1 favorite. When is the last time Jose Aldo had people betting that he was going to lose? I mean, throughout his whole career, you could count that on less than three fingers. So pretty meaningful fight. And they wanted to make it the main event. And Jose Aldo's side said, no, we're not going to go main event. And the reason they gave, I thought was very fair. And you guys know I'm always on the side of being a team player. And you have a contract, and when you're asked to do a job, and it's only three times a year, you go out and do the job to your best ability. I am on that side, but it's very hard for me to poke holes. If I wanted to just poke a big general hole and throw a punch at Jose, I've got the ammunition to do it. But if I was to look at this a little bit more objectively, this one has always made me wonder, why are main events five rounds? And all I'm asking is a very sincere question of why. I have some possible guesses, but I've never been given an answer as to why. And I've been booked in these. And I could tell you my contract does not change in the least. I now have to go out there and do 70% more work with zero more reward. My contract does not. So why? Why are we doing it? Okay, let's look at a couple of possibilities. But none of these have been stated, so I can't use these. I can't hang my hat on this argument. And the reason I'm bringing it for you now, this happened, I believe, in 2012. If not, I could be a year off. But all of a sudden, they went to all main events are going to be five rounds. And what had happened up until about that time was every single card had a title fight as the main event. When the product and the card started to grow and your champion numbers did not, you now just had some very big fights that were main events, but they weren't for the strap. So they decided to make the last fight of the night five fives. And I don't know why. I found it peculiar. I found it peculiar particularly because we are living in a world in MMA where the finish is encouraged. Where if you go the duration, it is frowned upon. The message I'm getting from that is the fights are too damn long to start with. That's what I'm getting from it. When I juxtapose that with what has killed the sport of boxing, which is 12-round contests, nobody wants to watch anybody do anything for 12 rounds. Plus, the human body isn't made for it. When boxing first went on television about three decades ago or more, the commentators came out with a false narrative of these guys are feeling each other out. They're in the feeling out process. There's no such thing. There's no such thing in MMA, and that narrative's never even been created. There's no such thing in amateur boxing, and that narrative's never even been created. In professional boxing, what is happening is you have two athletes who both know the deal unspoken, which is I can't go 36 minutes, but neither can you. So let's come out here and kill the first five rounds. Then we'll get after it. This thing should have been booked for seven in the first place, but it wasn't. So let's just figure it out between us and just bore the hell out of everybody who chose to tune in. It has single-handedly killed the sport of boxing. So when they tried to extend MMA, my very first thought, why would you do that? And I would love to know, on a sincere answer, why would you do that? In boxing, they will bring you up through the amateur ranks where you will start with three rounds. For the top guys, the Golden Gloves champion, the world team members, the world medalists, the Olympic team members, the Olympic medalists, they can go right into 10-round fights and sometimes even 12. But largely, boxing would bring you up through 4 to 6, sometimes 8, before they move you to 10 and 12. They will bring you up slow, but it's because it's a completely different environment. And the commissions and the regulators and the matchmakers and the promoters need to see that you can do it, that you have learned how to pace yourself, that you have physically prepared, conditioning-wise, your body to do this. It is an extreme ask, and we need evidence that you're prepared for it. So when MMA chose to go to that, it's okay, what are we doing here? Are the guys that are in the main events that aren't fighting for championships, are they considered contenders fights? Can we pretend and state that these are contenders? So we're trying to get them into the five-round club. We're trying to give them that experience before we put them for title. Is that what the answer is? Is there something completely different and abstract from the sport that, hey, we've got distribution partners and the folks that we work with have simply requested that the last fight be 5-5s? Is that what it is? Is it because it's the main event and we've got to offer something different, and because we don't have the belt to put up there, we'll add a couple of... Is that what it is? I'm open to any answer. But since this has began, and even in my time where I had to go do it, I was never given one. I also never asked for one. This is my first time asking for one. Maybe you guys know. But I am surprised that there wasn't pushback. I was surprised when we went to it in the first place, particularly living in the era of finish the fight. Don't give us all the minutes. Get out of there. Get the next ones out here. I was surprised. I am also surprised that even for title fights, and I think the reason this has never been pushed back upon is just because this is the way it was from the beginning. We respect tradition. We respect history. But I do think that it at least should have raised a flag at some point over the 20 plus years that we've been doing this, that somebody would have said, why are title fights different? The Super Bowl's on Sunday, which is going to be for the same amount of time that every other game all year was played. Why would, in our sport, it have to be a 70% increase? Why? Why would the times change based upon what's on the line? I don't know the answer. Maybe the fans like it more. Maybe that's the answer. I'm open to that. I'm not resisting. I just have never been told. And Jose Aldo was the first fighter that I could have seen. I don't remember anybody else doing this. Refusing a main event based on the premise of, what do I have to gain? Why would I go out there and do 70% more work when I can just walk out one fight earlier, still sell as many tickets, still be on the card, still fill up an arena, still move the needle, and work 30% less of the time? I think it's a fair question, which isn't what my general attitude would normally be. I would normally swing back and say the show must go on, and you've been given an elevated role and be thankful for it. I would normally say that. I just happen to think that he's asking a fair question. It's, why would I do that? And maybe he wanted an answer back. And maybe he wanted one of the bosses to come in and go, hey, you're right. And here's an extra fill in the amount on his purse. Maybe that's what he was looking for. Or maybe he was saying, what's on the line here? If I go out and do that, am I now the number one contender? Or maybe he was just saying, look, this doesn't make any kind of sense. And I've been in the 5-round club enough. And my age is different and things are different for me. And my preparation and my ability to prepare is now different. And I'm not interested in it. Either way, I thought it was a very compelling point and a point that he won on. He will not be the main event, even though he should be. I don't know that that's a great precedent to set. I would love to argue against Jose I just don't have any bullets to fire. I've been wanting the same thing myself. Why in the hell would the main event have to go on almost double the time of the co-main event? Some of the biggest fights that have ever been main events that were not for the title in UFC history. The biggest. Do you guys know the biggest, by the way? For you hardcores out there, do you know the biggest fight, the greatest gate, the greatest needle mover, the greatest revenue ever created in a main event for a non-title? The answer to that question is Rashad Evans versus Rampage Jackson. And I'll tell you something else about that fight. It was 3 5-minute rounds.
Every car comes with its share of stories. That ding in the bumper when you nervously picked up your first date, or that mileage you saved by riding your bike all summer. While you can't put a price tag on your stories, now with TrueCar, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell or trade it in. Just go to TrueCar, simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Then just answer a few questions. Navigation, moonroof, high mileage. You already knew it was going to cost you, but now you'll at least know how much of a hit you're going to take so you can plan ahead. Once you're finished, you will get a true cash offer sent to you in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or trade in. When you are ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your vehicle, check out TrueCar today. True cash offers not available in all areas.
So you know what happened? After the last show on Wednesday, I had so many people reach out to me, both through Twitter, social media, and also leaving comments on my YouTube page. And they were asking me the same question in various ways. But essentially what they were saying without using verbatim is, why is John Jones being allowed to compete while having flagged tests? And guys, I have explained this to the absolute best of my rhetorical abilities a number of times. And every time I have failed, and it's not because I'm not saying it clearly and accurately and right. It's because it's very confusing and it becomes its own language and people get lost. So they simply look to the test. Did the test show something or not? Okay, I get that. That makes sense. And that's how things have been done for a meaningful period of time. However, it's very hard to find fault in this situation. This is a unique situation. It is the first time ever a commission has been faced with double jeopardy. Do we want to repunish an athlete for something he was already punished for and served his time? Do we want to do it? We've never been in this spot before. The commissions have always defaulted logically. And guys, here, spoiler alert, the commissions don't understand this stuff any better than you guys do. The commissions are just regular folks that have a level of success and a level of trust and integrity and got appointed to these spots by the governor, which largely means either them or somebody in their family made a big donation. No one's at fault for that. That's how these commissions work. So until you prove somewhere that you are untrustworthy or you lack logic, you're going to keep your seat. While that may sound like a knock, it's not a knock at all. I'm telling you how it works. That's how it works. So when you're in these situations, these are not guys who are scientists or hang out with scientists or talk about, they don't understand it any clearer than anybody else. But the commission in this case was put in a unique position because they had always defaulted to the same logic that you guys would use, which is, does the test show a banned substance or not? That's the way it's always been. But for the first time, they were now faced with double jeopardy. Okay? While in the world of politics, if you will, the smallest dot on the political map is a commission. However, they are still on the map. So for them to observe and show respect to something known as double jeopardy, which is not only a state law, but a federal law in this country, I think was appropriate. And for the first time, they were faced with it. We have an athlete in John Jones who has an irregular assay, which is the fancy way of saying is failing a drug test. However, we don't believe it's his fault. He took something that he was punished for. He paid his debt that he was asked to pay. And his body, for whatever reason, is still showing signs of the previously determined substance. So what do we do? What do we do when this isn't John's fault? And they're right. It's John's not. He did not do anything wrong. He has this in his system. What do you want to do? And the commission went as far as to say, if this was his first time here, we would punish him and we would not license him. But this is his second time here. He's already paid that penalty. What do we do? And don't ever forget that side of it. Pile on John as much as you want. Be a fan and have some fun with it. If this is the only way that you can bring the guy down because nobody can do it inside of the cage, have fun with it. You're a fan. You've got the right. But to answer your question objectively, he didn't do anything wrong. They gave him a sentence. They gave him 15 months. That's not John's fault. They never should have given him that sentence. The rules were very clear. And on his second offense, which this was, he was to serve 24 at a minimum, up to 48 as a maximum. They lowered the sentence. That's not John's fault. Relevance to that being, had he done the 24 months that he was scheduled to do at a minimum, we wouldn't be having this topic. By example, we are now 17 months in, which leaves you another 6 months, 7 months. 7 months from now, we won't be having this discussion. This will not be in his system on any level. They're the ones that reduced it. John was just a ball getting bounced. He was a reactor. He was not a decision maker. He had to react to the decisions made about him. John did nothing wrong. So how do you want to handle it fairly and objectively? And the other side of this coin, and this is a lighter side in this case, but it is a side of the coin, is Anthony Smith in the upcoming case and Alexander Gustafson in the previous case. They did nothing wrong at all. Weren't even accused of it. They didn't have to go in and plead their innocence. They were never even accused of it. They would also be punished by this. And Gustafson was very clear to say, I do not care. Get him into the cage. Anthony Smith is very clear to say, I do not care. Get him into the cage. Guys, I know that that is not the way that the rule works. So don't pick that argument of mine apart. That is a subsequent argument. I'm just offering that later to the effect that there are victims that are made of this. That's not the commission's job. I'm just offering that to you on a human level. The commission was faced with looking at double jeopardy, which does not go in this land. They were appropriate and responsible by observing that, even though they didn't have to. Guys, I have had it with you all. And more importantly, I'm headed to the airport. The next time I will be talking to you, it will be from Melbourne, Australia, of which I have never been. If you have food suggestions for anybody that's been to Australia, tell me a dish that I must try. I'm hoping my fast will be over by then. And if it's not, I'll go smell the food anyway. I will see and talk to you all next Wednesday. Same Chael Sonnen time, same Chael Sonnen channel.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Laura Ingraham, and this January I am launching my new show, The Laura Ingraham Show Podcast, exclusively on Podcast One. So if you like my radio show, you're going to love joining me during the week as I cover politics, pop culture, and media bias. And don't worry, as always, I'm going to bring you hard-hitting guests and take your calls. Subscribe today and download new episodes starting January exclusively on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts.